Please join me as we read from the Bible, and there are some red Bibles on the seats in front of you. Our first reading is from Psalm 18 with verses 1 to 6, 16 to 19, and 31 to 33, and you'll find that on page 438. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. Our second reading is taken from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And you can find that on page 813. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
Looks at Psalm 18, as we know. We've just heard a varied selection from it in our Bible reading. Psalm 18, like I said before, is a song that David had sung to God. And it actually made it into Israel's national songbook, the Psalms. Today we're going to look at God's deliverance of David from his enemies. And importantly, we're not going to be stopping there. We're going to be thinking through how this song from thousands of years ago actually applies to us today. Now, I've actually broken the unspoken law of preaching today by not having 3 points. In fact, we kind of have five. We're going to be here all day. I hope you don't have anything on. So hang on for the ride, guys. It's a long psalm, but we're just going to be doing a whirlwind tour. The first point, which doubles as our introduction, looks at David's cry for help. The second, we'll look into God's deliverance of David, of another character, and of us today. The third looks at why God delivered David. And the fourth and fifth points are around response, how David responded to his deliverance and how we should respond to our deliverance today. Before we move on, I'll pray. Lord, thank you for a new year. Thank you for your word. We know that you speak to us through it. So please help us to have ears to hear this morning. Even though we may have lots on our mind, help us to dwell on what you have to say this morning. Please help me to be clear and true as I speak. Amen. So our first point this morning, it's a short one, crying out in distress. At some point in our lives, all of us have cried out to be saved from something. I'm sure it's a familiar situation to you. Often we hear children scream for help in all manner of situations. And I'm sure you can think of a time when this was the case for you. Every time you think of this situation when you were crying for help, it fills you with dread. You remember what it was like to be there with no chance of doing anything about your situation. One of these situations for me was actually getting in the water at a surf spot and the waves being way bigger than I thought they were. Keith, the guy who I was surfing with, he'd been washed in, and I was the only one sitting out with the breakers. I got wave after wave breaking on my head, and I felt desperately helpless and alone. I couldn't do anything, and I was at the mercy of the waves. I was too out of breath to cry out to anyone, but in my head, I was screaming. I just kept fighting aimlessly until I got washed in on the rocks, thankful to be alive. And in your distressing memory, I wonder if you cried out. Who did you cry out to? And who could you trust to deliver you from your trials? Well, in today's psalm, we see David, the king of Israel, crying out for help. He cries out to his Lord, the God of Israel. David was being pursued by Saul, his enemy. Saul wanted David dead, and there wasn't much that David could do about it. His only option was to cry out to God. Now, this isn't just an imagined situation for David. In fact, the full account of him being chased by Saul can be found in 1 and 2 Samuel. So let's listen to David crying out in verses 4 to 6 of today's psalm. David says, "The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help." Now, in David's mind, there is no doubt that he is in grave danger. At one point in this story, hiding from Saul, David cowers in a cave, hoping not to be found. He's playing a life and death game of hide and seek. So David cries out for deliverance. His enemies are too strong for him, and he doesn't hesitate to call on the one person that can save him, God. Now, you may have had times where death looms larger than ever. A near-death experience, or a serious bout of sickness. Can you relate to David here? Have you ever cried out to God for deliverance? So in his distress, David cries out to God for help. But thankfully, the psalm doesn't end there. David doesn't leave us wondering what happened next. Check out verse 6 with me now, as we jump into our second point. See, we're already onto our second point, so it can't be too bad to go to 5. Our second point is deliverance. Verse 6. "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." This is our first glimpse of David's deliverance. He's cried out, and from his distress, the Lord hears. Not only does God hear David's cries, he responds as well. Verses 7 to 19 in today's psalm are an extended description of God's saving help. But for the sake of time, we're only going to do a summary. And that's in verses 16 to 19. Read them with me now. David says, "God reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in my day of disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God's divine help has delivered David from death. Every verse he describes being saved from his enemies. David has been moved from having the cords of death wrapped around him, entangling and strangling him, to being in a spacious place after God hears his cry and delivers him. So verses 16 to 19 are like a description of what God has done for David. He's brought him out from death. But verses 7 to 15 are more a description of the way in which God does it, of God's nature in this situation. Now, verses 7 to 15 scream of power. Our God is a big God who has control over the earth. Some of the language in there says, the earth trembles and quakes. Heavens part. Hailstones fall. Darkness covers God, and the valleys of the sea are exposed. I wonder if some of these phrases start to sound a bit familiar to you, because I reckon they should. David uses the language of the Exodus here. God used a plague of darkness and exposed the valleys of the Red Sea to deliver the Israelites from their enemies. David uses this language from the Exodus for a few reasons. As we all know, the Exodus was a defining time for Israel as God revealed himself to them. David reflects on the Exodus and on God saving him from his own enemies, and he begins to draw parallels. In awe that God has helped him in such a magnificent way, David is blown away. He says, "My deliverance is no less miraculous than the Exodus itself." David also reminds himself and those around him that the God who delivers him is the same God who delivers the Israelites. The same God is intervening for his people again. God has a history of reaching down from on high and drawing his people out of deep waters. It's in God's nature to save his servants, and David reminds us of that. Like I was saying, God's nature is to save people, kind of like a lifeguard. God rescues people. David says, he drew me out of deep waters as if he was drowning. Now, we know in Australia that lifeguards are in the business of saving people. Every year, they come to the aid of hundreds of swimmers. To each of these swimmers that's saved, it's a miraculous deliverance. But they don't. The lifesavers don't stop at one rescue, admiring their work. No, they keep on saving people because it's in their nature as lifeguards. Now, God is the same. He's delivered David and many others from their enemies and continues to do so. All through the Bible, God comes to the help of those who cry to him. So when Jesus came, it's actually no surprise that he did the same. When we looked into Mark chapter 2 in our second reading this morning, we see another man that is crying out to be saved. The man is a paralytic, meaning he cannot walk. So he's rallied his friends together to carry him into the town to see Jesus and ask for healing, that Jesus would deliver him from the enemy of paralysis. Now, David has cried out to God with an immediate need to be saved from Saul. This paralytic in Mark chapter 2 also cries out asking for an immediate need. But what Jesus does here, I actually find really interesting. Jesus didn't deliver the paralytic from his felt need of wanting to walk again, but from a more pressing and greater need. Jesus sees not only does this man need help physically, but he really needs help spiritually. This man faces condemnation, and Jesus knows that. So Jesus delivers him, saying, "Not you are healed, but your sins are forgiven." In Jesus' view, spiritual deliverance is way more important than immediate health. Now, Jesus does end up healing this man so he can walk again, but only as a secondary matter. Forgiveness of sins is the big deal for Jesus here. And Jesus views us in the same way. Jesus valued our spiritual deliverance so highly that he was willing to forego his own safety and the comfort for the sake of saving us. Jesus was delivered to death so that we could be given life. At that time, Jesus was actually crying out to God for another way to save us. But he wasn't delivered. He willingly went to the cross because he had a bigger picture in mind: the deliverance of his people. Deliverance is available to us. We have the promise of being delivered spiritually, which Jesus actually views as even more important than physical safety or health. God delivered David, but Jesus paves the way for us to be delivered in an even more important way. Let's move on to our third point. So God has reached down on high and delivered David. Jesus has done the same for us as Christians by setting us free from sin. But why would he do that? That's our third point today, the basis for deliverance. Let's look at the character of David in Psalm 18. We see that David, from this psalm, is both faithful and humble. Now, as I say this, you may have seen verses 21 and 22 before when we were reading. Verse 21 to 22 say this: "I have kept the ways of the Lord," says David. "I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees." That's verses 21 and 22. Now, seeing these verses, I actually found it pretty hard to believe that David was humble. At the first glance, this seems like a boast, doesn't it? David's kind of saying, "Oh, I deserved God's help because of my good behavior." But the whole psalm is flavored by David praising God humbly. So for this to be a self-righteous, entitled statement doesn't really make any sense. David isn't for a second declaring that he's sinless. If you read Psalm 51 or Psalm 103, you'll see clearly that he knows his own sin. David being pious here doesn't have any pretense. He's just singing of his faithful commitment. And if we look in verse 27 of our psalm, it tells us that God saves the humble. The word for humble being used here in this psalm doesn't relate to character, but actually to circumstance. It refers to someone who's in need and knows it. That is David all over. Rather than relying on his own strength for deliverance from his enemies, David has cried out to God. He humbly accepts God's deliverance. God has done the work, rescuing David from his enemies when his own efforts were futile. So that's the character of David in this situation. Now let's look at the character of God. We see also that God is faithful and humble. There's a few reasons that God delivers David here. The first scene in verse 25, where we see God is faithful to those who are faithful. God is faithful to his faithful servants. The word for faithful that's used here is tied in with the word for steadfast love. God loves his people and will not turn away from them. And God is also humble. We see this in his willingness to reach down from on high to help his servant. We see in verses 7 to 15 that God was powerful, but our God is also personal. He cares. When his servants cry out, he hears and he responds. He delivers them from death because he's faithful and humble. And at the heart of David's deliverance, though, I think, is relationship. God is faithful to the faithful. Thus, he delivers his faithful servant. God isn't interested in being a genie or a puppet, just responding to our wishes. Instead, he longs for relationship with us. He wants not only to be our king, but also our friend. That's why he's faithful to the faithful, because God gives in kind because he wants relationship. Relationship, I reckon, was the basis for David's deliverance. So we've seen now how God delivered David and why God delivered David. For our fourth point this morning, we're going to look at David's response. David's response to deliverance is to keep investing in that relationship that saw him saved in the first place. He also doesn't see God as a genie to help him when he's needed, but as a king and a friend to be invested in. David has taken refuge in the Lord, and after being saved, he continues to do so. Look at verse 2 from our psalm today. Verse 2 said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Now, this psalm is a written reflection after David's actual deliverance. But notice the tense here. David is speaking of when he was writing, of the now rather than back then. He isn't saying, "God was my rock, in whom I was able to take refuge. He was my shield. He was my stronghold." No, God was and continues to be David's refuge. God was David's deliverer, but he continued to be so. Taking refuge for David meant being rooted in God's law. We see that God's law is always before him. Now, we know that David's life after deliverance here wasn't perfect. But his life after deliverance was characterized by faithful, genuine relationship with his Saviour. David's quick to remember who it is that's delivered him. He's been delivered by none other than the living God, the God of the Exodus. He gets that. He won't stop talking about it. David praises God for delivering him. As a response to his deliverance, David acknowledges all he has or is from God. David is a king, a rich, famous king. And it would be easy for him to become a proud king that does things in his own strength. But David reflects on his journey with amazing humility. Verses 39 and 40 show that David is happy to give all the glory to God. David says, "You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes." As a response to his deliverance, David remains in humble, adoring relationship with his deliverer, constantly reflecting on his life-changing experience. And our final point for this morning is our response. And I've got a final question for you actually this morning. It is, have you been delivered? And I mean delivered in the most important way, spiritually. Jesus viewed our spiritual state as more vital to us than physical health. We face condemnation if we aren't saved by Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus has given up his own physical life to give us spiritual deliverance. We're all in need, but maybe we're too proud to admit it. God saves the humble. If you cry out to him in your need, you will be delivered from the most pressing enemy that you face, death itself. David was delivered physically, yes, but unfortunately, that just prolonged the inevitable for him, didn't it? He eventually died. And the many people that Jesus healed in his ministry eventually passed away as well. While we may cry out for deliverance from physical sickness or hard times, What we really, really need to be delivered from is condemnation. We need to get in line with Jesus, who thinks the same way. We should be crying out to God for deliverance from our sin. When I wrote this down, I thought, hang on a second. Does that mean that we can only cry out to God for deliverance from spiritual things? Should we simply live as stoics in this world who don't show any evidence of physical or emotional hurt? Listen to this quote from a famous stoic. He said, "Choose not to be harmed and you won't feel harmed. Don't feel harmed and you haven't been harmed." Now, this does not work, does it? It's not how we're meant to live. How could David be hiding for his life and choose not to be scared or harmed? How can we be diagnosed with cancer and choose not to be affected by it? How can we live with a chronic illness and not feel harmed? That's a really sad, depressing way to live, isn't it? So no, Christians, thankfully, are not meant to be stoics. The Psalms are full of cries for deliverance from physical strife. The Psalms model crying out to us. It's good to cry out to God. God wants relationship, remember? And he wants to hear your cries. God cares. So do it. Cry out for deliverance. But as you cry out, remember and be thankful that you've been delivered from the most important enemy of sin. This is most important in God's eyes, and he has already brought you back from death. And as another final question for you this morning is, how are you responding to deliverance? Do you respond like David with abounding praise and humility? Do you respond at all? Is God's grace taken for granted? I know that happens for me so often. We can so easily forget the fact that God has delivered us. If we want to respond like David did, we need to constantly dwell on our deliverance. Remember what it was like to have the cords of death wrapped around your neck. Take refuge in God. Dwell on his word and let it surround you. Like David, use the rest of your life after deliverance to invest in your relationship with God. What God has done for us is amazing. He's brought us to life, saving us from the greatest enemy. Does that sound amazing? Yes. Hence the name of a very famous hymn, Amazing Grace. This is a really good way to process whether or not we are responding to God's grace. Listen to this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And David may have said, the cords of death were strangling me, but God has brought me out into a spacious place. Does this resonate with you? God has delivered us from death. It should shape our whole lives. So let's respond to God's grace by growing our relationship with him, continuing to take refuge in him. Reminisce on where he's brought you from and be amazed. The cords of death had overcome us, but our Lord has delivered us from them, because God delivers his faithful servants. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for delivering us. You've drawn us out of deep water when all we could do was sink. Help us to remember your amazing grace. Let it shape our lives and help us respond to it. May we live in reflection of our deliverance, continuing to live in relationship with you. Amen.